open this morning to Matthew chapter 27. As I previously stated, the story of Barabbas is recorded in all four Gospels. I want to focus mainly on Matthew and Luke this morning, but we may make some reference to Mark and John as well. And the fact that it's recorded in all four Gospels tells me that this is a very, very important story. God wants to get a message across to us about what actually occurred with this amazing exchange. So, Matthew chapter 27, and I want to read from verse 15, New Living Translation. And I'll read all the way through to verse 26. Now, was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year, there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, "Which one do you want for me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Messiah?" He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message: "Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night." Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. "Which one of these two do you want me to release to you?" The crowd shouted back, "Barabbas." Pilate responded, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah or Christ?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours." And all the people yelled back, "We will take responsibility for his death, we and our children." So Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. You know, this wasn't a good day for Pilate. Put aside Jesus for a minute. I want to have a look at Pilate for a moment. Not a good day for him. You know, the religious leaders had already gathered and determined that this man needs to be put to death, but they couldn't do it. See, Jesus was a political prisoner. That's why he was in custody, because they envied him. He was a political prisoner. And of course, as I said earlier in verse 18, Pilate knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. The fix was in. They wanted him crucified because he didn't fit their narrative. Their narrative was apply the law, live by the law. But if you introduce something that's outside the law, then it doesn't fit the narrative of the religious elite. Nothing's changed today. The religious elite today still want and demand the law. But that didn't fit the narrative. So Jesus is now a political prisoner, because the fix was in. No doubt about that. This was a mob rule. There was a frenzy going on. The religious leaders were stirring up the people. They didn't realize that what they were doing was calling for the release of a notorious criminal, Barabbas. See, you can get caught up in a mob rule frenzy. You can watch it on television sometimes. People get caught up in hysteria about something and don't even really know why they're there. Half the demonstrations that you see on television are just that. Someone stirs up a crowd. There's a bit of a mob think, a mob rule, a mob frenzy, and everyone starts going in a certain way. Now, it's interesting. Pilate said, who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas? And they said, Barabbas. Extraordinary. It's interesting when you take a note of this, Isaiah 5, verse 20. You don't need to turn there. It says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, to put darkness for light and light for darkness, to put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what this was. It's exactly what this was. See, he says in verse 26, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered them to flog with a lead-tipped whip. Then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Wow. You know, in the King James Version of verse 25, it says, his blood be on us and our children. That's what the religious people declared. They said, we're going to take responsibility for this man. His blood is on us and our children. Now, I want you to think of the history of Israel that we know in the last 2,000 years, and you tell me if those words didn't produce. Israel has been a persecuted nation for 2,000 years. And certainly we know during the Second World War, that was very evident. His blood be upon us and our children. Words matter, people. Words matter. You speak words, you get a harvest on what you say, good or bad. I don't care whether you believe that or not, you are going to get a harvest on the words you speak. Every time. It's a spiritual law which cannot change. It's eternally set in motion. You will get what you say. Israel got their harvest. So what do we know about Barabbas? Barabbas, Bar Abba, means son of a father. Son of a father. So it's a high probability that Barabbas was a Jew. It doesn't specifically say that, but I would conclude if the religious elite were demanding his release, I couldn't imagine them asking for the release of a heathen, would you? Or an infidel? Or a Gentile? More likely that Barabbas, son of a father, was the son of a Jewish man. What else do we know? He was a well-known criminal. Now, I'm not going to name certain criminals that have been in the paper and the news over the years in Melbourne. But this man was notorious. Notorious. The Ned Kelly types. Everyone knew about Barabbas. What had he done? You know, that word notable prisoner is infamous or notorious. Mark and Luke describe him as being involved in an insurrection, an uprising, a riot, or a rebellion and murder. So, could it be that Barabbas had led a revolt against Rome, against the Roman establishment? Highly likely. That's why he's in prison. But as a result of that insurrection or that revolt or that uprising, murder occurred. So Barabbas is a murderer. He's not a good man. Notorious. Now they're asking for him. They're asking for him. And, you know, it's interesting if you were to read Mark's gospel and John's gospel. It talks about the release of a prisoner was customary before the Passover. Now, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the suggestion is that it was customary for them, the Jews. But John, sorry, it was customary for the governor. But in John, it says it was customary for the Jews that one should be released. Yet, there's no historical evidence that records that. But the word of God's truth. Amen. Whether history records that it was customary or not, it's irrelevant. This word before us is God-breathed. So if it said it was customary and there were four witnesses to declare that, it was customary. So we've now got a situation where the two lives are about to intersect. So we know that Barabbas is a murderer. Well, what do we know about Jesus? What do we know about the sinless Son of God? Well, you know, we know that he went about doing good, did he not? He went about healing. He went about delivering, restoring, opening blind eyes, deaf ears. Barabbas was a thug and a rebel. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Anyone who came to him in faith received. Anyone who tells you that Jesus didn't always heal somebody in faith is a liar. I'll tell you now, don't ever receive that. It's a lie. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that truth. Those that didn't receive from him were in unbelief, or they had no faith or little faith. Anyone who came to Jesus in faith received. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that Jesus said, you know what, let me think about that request. Maybe come back next week when I'm not too busy for you. You won't find that. You won't find that. So here we have this amazing man, Jesus. And it's you couldn't get a more stark contrast between what was set in place. The choice Pilate set before the Jews could not be more clear-cut. A high-profile killer with with unquestionable guilt. No doubt about it, this man had led a revolt, a rebellion, and he was incarcerated because he committed murder with a group of others. No doubt about that. He was in prison. And then a teacher and a miracle worker who was demonstrably innocent. In every possible way. See, the people that were calling for his death were not those that received from Jesus. Not the multitudes. These were the religious elite. These were those who wanted to maintain the law, to keep people in bondage. The law will always bring death. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. The Spirit gives life. No, Jesus came full of grace and truth, but they didn't like his narrative. It didn't fit. And I can tell you now, there are people out there today, particularly religious people, that don't always like your or my narrative because it doesn't fit their situation. But my situation didn't, and I didn't receive, and I know someone, it doesn't fit. So because it doesn't fit, they reject the Prince of Life. Don't ever do that. And don't ever hold back or shy back from truth because someone doesn't like your narrative. You've got the words of life. Give it to people and people will receive from you. So here we have this stark contrast. You know, in John 19 verse 15, the word says that Jesus was Messiah and King, but the chief priest declared there was no king but Caesar. That's how far they'd come from truth. They declaring there's only one king and that's Caesar. Because Paul says, he's your king, Messiah Jesus. They said, we don't have any king but Caesar. And you're no friend to Caesar's if you let him go. Wow. How far had they moved from truth? We have no king but Caesar. The only king they had was God, and they rejected him. And they couldn't recognize the day of their visitation. They couldn't recognize Jesus. Couldn't recognize him. And we think, well, gee, that wouldn't happen today. Want to bet? Think about how many people in your families, close loved ones to you, that haven't recognized the day of his visitation yet. They don't know him. And there are religious people sitting in churches all throughout this country that don't know him. They don't know him. They don't know him. So who chose Barabbas? I want you to think about that question. Who chose Barabbas? But before we do that, go with me to Luke. I want to just share Luke's account of this same event. Because I want you to see what lengths Pilate went to release Jesus. You know, you may be thinking that Pilate was the harsh one here. I'm telling you right now, Pilate did not want Jesus to die. It wasn't Pilate's will. I want you to read from verse 13 with me. Verse 13 of Luke 23. And it says this, again, the New Living. Then Pilate called together the leading priests and other religious leaders along with the people, and he announced his verdict. You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. So they've accused Jesus of leading a revolt. This is Jesus, the healer, the miracle worker, the loving, true shepherd, Jesus. So they've accused him of leading a revolt. I've examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent. Herod came to the same conclusion and sent him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty, so I will have him flogged and then I will release him. Then a mighty roar rose from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, "Kill him! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas was a prisoner, was in prison for taking part in an insurrection in Jerusalem against the government and for murder. So there we have it. This was an insurrection, a revolt, a rebellion against the Roman government. And they weren't going to have a bar of that. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus. There it is. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." See what happens when the spirit of death gets on people? They were driven by a demonic spirit. For the third time he demanded, "Why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason for sentencing him to death, so I will have him flogged and then I'll release him." Three times, Pilate tried to release Jesus. No, I'd never noticed that before. You've got to study the word. Study it, line by line. But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded. As they had requested, he released Barabbas, the man in prison, for insurrection and murder, but he turned Jesus over to them to do as they wished. Really? He turned them over to them to do as they wished or as God wished? Now you go with me to Acts chapter 2, 3 and 4, and I'm going to show you who was driving this. As I said to you, not a good day for Pilate. What was it like when he went back to his wife after all that? He was stirred. He's like, "I told you. I told you not to have anything to do with him." He said, "Did you hear the crowd out there? Did you see the mob? I had to do something." And she said, "You regret that." Bad day for Pilate. Bad day for Pilate. We don't often think about it. These are living characters in history. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. We have Peter. He's now been baptized in the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost. He's preaching a mighty message to a crowd of people. And he says this in verse 22, "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, signs through him, as you well know." But God knew what would happen. And his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Jesus is alive, people. He's alive and he's well, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. We are in a good place because our Lord is alive. He's not a dead Jesus. He's not hanging on a cross, on a crucifix. He's not there. He's alive and seated with the Father. Why? Because he's a victorious one. He said, "I'm an overcomer." And because I overcome, you overcome. This was prearranged. Pilate didn't release Barabbas. Who released him?
God.
God released him. Think about this. For the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He endured it. He despised it for the joy that was set before him. God released Barabbas. And I'll tell you why in a moment. Go with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. I'll read from verse 12. Peter's preaching in the temple after that lame man is healed. Peter saw this opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we have made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous man and instead demanded the release of a murderer." We know Barabbas was a murderer. 100%. He was in prison because he deserved it. "You killed the author of life." Remember I said, don't call that which is evil good. Don't call that which is good evil. "But God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." So we know again, we can affirm the fact it was God's preordained plan and it was not the will of Pilate to release Barabbas or have Jesus crucified. One more scripture in Acts. Go with me to Acts 4, just over the page. Go to verse 27. And of course, now we have the apostles praying to God because they've been released after coming under persecution from the religious leaders. And they said this, "In fact, this has happened here in this very city, for Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was predetermined beforehand according to your will." Whose will was it for Jesus and Barabbas to meet on that day? It was God's will. Whose will was it for Pontius Pilate to bow his knee and allow Barabbas to be released? God's will. Whose will was it for Jesus Christ to become the lamb slain before the foundation of the world? God's will. You know why? For you and me. Every one of us were Barabbas. Every one of us were Barabbas. We were the ones that should have paid the price, but he went to the cross. Barabbas is us. We were Barabbas before we knew Jesus. We were the murderers. We were the enemy of him. We were it. Everyone out there that doesn't know him is a Barabbas waiting to be released. They're still in chains. They're still in prison. They're still bound by the curse of the law. But Jesus set them free.
Amen.
If they will say yes to him. Pilate didn't release Barabbas. Love did. Father. It was a father's will that Barabbas should go. It's an example for us. What happened to Barabbas? We don't know. You hear there's been movies about him that he went back to the cross and he looked at Jesus and it stirred him up and eventually he became a believer in God. We don't know. But I'm convinced the reason why the Father has not revealed it is because it leaves an open question. Jesus or Barabbas? It leaves the question open because if you remain Barabbas, you remain chained. If you remain Barabbas, you remain in prison. If you remain Barabbas, you remain under the law. You're in bondage to the curse. But if you accept the cross, you're released. You're released. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know whether he followed the master. But I want you to think about it. Here's this man, chained, probably chained around his neck, chains around his ankles. He was a notorious, violent criminal. They weren't playing games with him. He would have shuffled out like this. Chained, they would have yanked his chain. Those soldiers didn't care about him. And here's Jesus, lamb to the slaughter, waiting to go to the cross. Didn't say anything unless the Father gave him a word to say. And here's Barabbas. And then they start saying, crucify him, release Barabbas. And he's thinking, ooh. Starting to puff his chest out a bit now. Before that, he's like this. He knows he was going to a death sentence. He was going to be killed by Rome because he raised up an insurrection against Rome, a rebellion, a revolution, a robber he was. And they're crying out, we want Barabbas. And he's thinking, whoa, they want me. Whoa, man full of pride. Couldn't care less about the things of God. They wanted him. Every time they yelled out that word Barabbas, he got more prideful. Hey, this is looking good. It's looking good. And he's looking at this Jesus, but he can't work it out. The sinless Lamb of God saying nothing, going to the slaughter. He can't understand it. He's thinking, I know about this bloke, but I don't care. I just want out of here because if I don't get out of this prison, I'm a dead man. They're saying, crucify him. Release Barabbas. Release Barabbas. But crucify him. Pilate just couldn't deal with it. But he couldn't deal with it because he was doing the will of the Father. He was doing the will of the Father. He couldn't come to any other conclusion because it was predetermined. Jesus had to go to Calvary's cross. You know, the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, what? Became sin. For us, so that we who were sinners, Barabbas, would become righteous. He that was sinless had to go to the cross. And what do you think about this? This is important. Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat him like Barabbas so that the Father could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Jesus knew that. He knew that, you know, he had to treat him like Barabbas so the Father could treat Barabbas like his son. That's why he had to go to the cross so that we could be treated like sons and daughters of the King. He did it all. And we wake up in the morning sometimes and we say, why, God, why? How, what, you know, this situation, I can't deal with it. He did it all. We sometimes there and we think, God, you know, release me from this bondage. But then you think, no, I'm not worthy. I've got shame and guilt. I can't. And he says, no, stop that. You are worthy. But no, I've got to do things for you. How can I come to you on Sunday when I've done this on Friday and Saturday? And he says, stop it. Stop. You're worthy. My son made you worthy. It's not what you did. Not what we do. It's what he did for us. How powerful is this? We were Barabbas. But we're no longer, we're free people because we said yes to him. We're no longer in the chains and the grip of the curse. We're redeemed from it. Powerful, powerful thing. Wow. That's why in Luke 23 and 25, you know, Pilate turned Jesus over to them to do as they wished. No, it was as God wished. Love released Barabbas on that day in Jerusalem. Love released him. He didn't understand that. He couldn't work it out when they undid those chains. And I'm sure those Roman soldiers that were guarding him wanted to just belt him. They knew what he'd done. And they're thinking, you can release him. I'm sure they just wanted to give him one before he walked down those steps. But I can tell you right now, I don't think those religious leaders want to have anything to do with them anyway. Get out of here. Just go. You're a scapegoat. That's all you are to us. You're a nothing. We're not going to touch you. This is Passover. I'm not going to be defiled because of you. I'm not going to embrace you, Barabbas. You're a bad man. You're a sinner. You don't deserve our embrace. You're just a scapegoat being used. You're a pawn for us. He's a political prisoner and we're taking advantage of you to achieve our ends. Now get out of our sight. Get. We don't want to know you. I can tell you right now, that's exactly what the religious elite would have done. They weren't going to touch Barabbas, filthy, stinking criminal from a prison, murderer. This is Passover. I'm going to touch him. Nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him. But Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. He loves us. How much does he love us? Why would we ever doubt his love for us? Why would we still want to follow the ways of a filthy, godless world out there when we understand what he did for us that day when those two lives crossed? Jesus or Barabbas? My goodness. Barabbas thought the people set him free. No, it was love from heaven. But he was a bad man. But the father's response, but I love him. Yeah, but he committed murder and he did nasty, but I love him. I love him. It was an outward expression of a spiritual reality. We didn't deserve to be free either. We didn't deserve it. God saves by grace and grace alone. There is no other way to him. There's no other way to God. You can try and mentally interpret or understand all you want, but if your heart's not open to truth, you can't be free. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. No one in this world will ever stand before God and say, I got there because of my effort. Be gone from me. I never knew you. That's what they will hear. It's grace. It takes a humble heart to yield to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy looking up. Set me free. That's what Christianity is. Got nothing to do with works or religion or effort. Nothing. It never will. We can't teach that. It's from the pit. You know, so many people today, they're crying out to God, though I'm in a deep, dark place of bondage. I've got to work hard to get myself out. I'm in this nasty place. I'm bound. I've got addictions. I'm struggling. And I've got to do something to get myself free. No. No. It's not how it works. We don't do it through our efforts. That's the cry of the heart of people. That's the opposite to the gospel. The gospel is come as you are to him and he'll set you free. What are you going to do? What am I going to do when we're bound in temptation and sin? What are we going to do when we're bound in all these things that keep us low? Just shake it off? Is that what we're going to do? No. You never will. You can't. None of us outside of God are a match against the powers of hell and sin. No human being is a match against hell and sin without Jesus. But when you've got Jesus, no hell on earth is against you. Amen. Nothing in hell can come against you, for greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But without Christ, you're no match for hell and the devil. He will whip you up one way and down the other. He's a destroyer. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We can't do it without our Lord.
Amen.
We can't do it. There is only the one, and he's the one that took our place. He's the only one. He stood silent on the platform when Pilate said, "Yes, let them have Barabbas. Take me." He stood silent when Barabbas was released. You know why? For the joy that was set before him, for you and for me. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. How many times I said, if we stood on that platform as Barabbas and said, "No, no, I deserve the guilt, the shame, the condemnation. I deserve everything. I'm not worthy to be called your son any longer. Just make me a hired servant like the rest of them." No. That's not how we're to be. That's not how we're to speak. That's not how we're to see ourselves. We are no longer in bondage. We're free people. We no longer identify with Barabbas. We identify with the sinless Son of God. Because why? We are joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
Not sub-heirs. We're joint heirs. That means that everything God gave the Son, he's given to us. Everything God gave the Son, he's given to us. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Wow. You know, when we cry out to him, when we cry to him and say, "God, I can't do this," you know what he says? "Let me have it. But I can't deal with this anymore. It's too much for me. Give it to me. But all these things that I've done, all these, you know, bad thoughts and these bad mistakes I've made and these," he said, "just hand it to me. Just give it to me. That's all I ask you to do. Give it to me. I don't want you to do anything else. I don't want you to try. I don't want you to struggle. Just give it to me." That's all he asks. That's all he asks. You know, it's God. It's God alone. There's no one else. It's God and it's God alone. We're not going to do this journey part God, part our effort. We can't do it. We can't build kingdom. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the one I build." We can't do this sort of half-half. We don't mix law and grace together. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. It's all God and God alone. It was Jesus then, and it's Jesus now. Amen? It always was Jesus. It always will be Jesus. Jesus is enough for us. Amen?
Amen?
We don't need anything outside of him. He will always be our supply. He will be our reward. He's our blessing. We don't need anything outside of Jesus. So who will you choose? Who will I choose this morning? Who's our choice? going forward. And you know what? I'm not just talking about where we've made a choice for Jesus. You know, we're saved. It's about your daily choices and my daily choices. What do we carry that God says, give to me? What do we get stressed and care about when he says, cast your care? What do we decree we can't do when he says, you can do all things? Will you give it to him this morning? Will you give it to Jesus? Because Jesus is enough for us. We don't need anything outside of him. He will always be our supply. He is our Lord and he's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He loves us. We were Barabbas, but we're free.
Amen.
We are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. One final scripture. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Hallelujah. Peter said this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus did it for us, people. Jesus did it for us. There'll never, ever be another crucifixion. Never. There'll never be another sacrifice. Never. Pilate didn't release Barabbas. God released Barabbas because of his love for humanity. For God loved, so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a pretty clear choice, isn't it? We choose Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.